just a baby. Before I could speak, I would line up all my letter blocks alphabetically. Now it's my vocation and my passion to assign every decimal numbered shelf to every decimal numbered spine. I'm alive.
Well, I am a librarian, and you're listening to The Library Show, but this is, we were all just sitting in here rocking out to that theme song, because guess what? I have a studio full of librarians. Great company. Well, I always like to talk a little bit about what's going on at the library, and I don't have my calendar in front of me, so it's going to be, as my mother would say, a bit discombobulated, but coming up on December 10th, a young woman named Crystal Borland, I believe that's her last name, she's a real expert on the Affordable Health Care Act. We're going to have a video conference originating out of Juneau. She's kind of the go-to person that Jonathan Christ Tompkins has learned a lot about, the Affordable Health Care Act. So she will be available on the 10th, I believe, from 5 to 6, if not that, 6 to 7, but we'll have that information out when that time gets closer. So people who have questions about the Affordable Health Care Act will be able to come and interact with her. She'll be in Juneau online, but we have lots of groovy video conferencing equipment supplied by the OWL grant through the State Library. So I think that will be really informative. And then Brett Wilcox, who has written a book about genetically modified foods and is doing an interesting run across the United States, will be on hand to talk about his book. And so that will also be in December. And then on the 14th, we have the Winter Wonderland, where we collect virtually new children's books and make them available for people to come in and select a book for a favorite child. I, as a child, always grew up with at least one new book under the tree to open and read. And when I was done playing with all my toys, that's what I went to, was that book. So we think every child should have a book under the tree. So if you have a favorite grandchild or maybe a sibling or your very own child or just a child who's really special, come to the library and you can select a book and we will wrap it. I believe the DKG ladies are going to be there wrapping some books up. And the Girl Scouts are setting up some things that people can use to create greeting cards. So look for that, December 14th, and also the visit by Santa in the evening. So the library is going to be busy this season, like everybody else is. But now, getting to the heart of the matter, I have my library friends, Carrie Sagel. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, Sarah.
And I have Erica Drain. And Carrie is the librarian at Blatchley, and Erica is the librarian at Mount Edgecombe High School. So welcome.
Thank you.
And I think what I'm just going to have to ask them how they came up with the idea of a tender-hearted book club. How did that ever happen?
We've developed a really bad habit every morning of meeting for coffee before we have to go to school, and we basically sit around deciding about amusing things we could do in Sitka, and we got talking about books and the dark winter hours, and we got this idea that we were going to do a tender-hearted book club.
That was after we did a book club for one that was serious, and we were tired of being serious. So we wanted something that kind of uplifted our hearts a little bit.
And didn't strain our minds too much.
Well, and my understanding, because I just looked at it today, was that people are even writing in about it, that you guys are on Facebook?
We have a Facebook page. It's called the Tenderhearted Book Club. And so far we have about 35 members of people who are reading, and we'll have an event on January 24th. Don't know where, what, but it'll probably be in the evening. You can join the book club even if you can't attend. We'll be out of town on the 24th. You can suggest tenderhearted books, read one, report on Facebook. Everybody is welcome to be in the Tenderhearted Book Club.
That sounds very tender. I like that. Well, so I see that you might have some tenderhearted book titles to share with us. So what do you have in your book bag?
I brought a middle school book called Loser by Jerry Spinelli, and it's about a boy. He's probably LD or learning disabled. His name is Zinkoff, and he's just filled with enthusiasm and excitement about life and school. And it's really the story about how school's beating him down every year as his gaps grow larger. But he's sort of so exuberant that he doesn't know what's happening. He has an especially difficult year in second grade when he has a teacher who basically can't stand him because he's just not a sharp little kid. And it's really about how he just continues triumphing to the very end. And I won't say the end because then you'll hear quakes and quivers in my voice. but it's one that I found especially tender-hearted. I've recommended to kids. It doesn't seem to, you know, catch them, but it's one I'd recommend. Loser by Jerry Spinelli.
Okay.
Erica has a tender-hearted story to tell about her childhood. Or a horrible story.
Actually, we first discuss what was tender-hearted.
Yeah, what is tender? Yeah,
what is tender-hearted? Because Carrie and I disagree over that issue.
We disagree about everything.
I think you can have a zombie book that's tender-hearted, just depending on how they grow. So, like, Warm Bodies was tender-hearted.
There you go.
Is that a zombie book?
It's not really a zombie
book. So, how do you define it?
I think it's where the characters get the love they need in the end of the book.
Okay.
So that's what I think is as tender-hearted. And something usually involving children, but I understand, and I'm looking over at your pile, and I see some books that are adult books.
Yeah, I do have some adult books, so we can maybe talk about those in a bit. But so, Erica, I am curious.
Oh, okay. Well, the book that I chose that started it was, I was telling Carrie about Mistress Masham's Repose, which was a book that my mother read to us, because she always read a story to us at night, and we started off, of course, with the Bobbsey twins, so which I think is tender-hearted,
and I don't.
And so I think we were probably all fourth, fifth grade or something, because I remember, and I don't remember much.
Before that, you mean?
Yeah. So I think we were laying in bed one night, and she was in the middle of the book, and all of a sudden she quit, and she says, "Okay, I think you should take over now and start reading this book." And I was appalled. What? Are you kidding me? This is, you got to finish the book. She's like, no, you're old enough now. You can finish the book yourself. So about 2 years ago, I found the book, beautiful copy of the book. It was a collector's edition. So I bought the book. Of course, I didn't read it. But
well, did you finish the book as a child?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
I was mad. So yeah, so that's my goal this time, is to actually finish the book.
What's it about? A little bit about.
Well, this is about.
Even though you can't tell us the ending.
I can't tell you the ending, that, which is good. It's about a young girl who is an orphan, and she goes to live in this very large house, and her keepers are some people who are trying to swindle her out of her money. And one day she goes out on the grounds, and she discovers this island where there are the little people.
Lilliputians,
yeah. And so it's about her adventures with them and with these people who are trying to swindle her out of her money. And he wrote it, I think, back during, like, World War II. And it's kind of a takeoff of Gulliver's Travels. It wasn't as popular as the other little people books that were out there at the time.
It's so. By T.H. White, who also wrote Once and Future King. I'm reading the book right now, and while I don't find it tender-hearted either.
Yet, perhaps.
But I have to, two or three times each page, look up a word in the dictionary or look up a concept. So I am enjoying that part, actually.
But we agree on one book that's tender-hearted. We agree that Winnie the Pooh is definitely tender-hearted.
Yes.
Well, I love Winnie the Pooh. What makes Winnie the Pooh, it's wonderful to listen to, but when you read it, lots of words are capitalized and that emphasize it in a way that you maybe wouldn't get if you were, you know, just listening to it. Do you have something marked there, Carrie, that
yes,
you wanted to
I
share?
Yes, I do. It's at the end. I have finished, for in my life, my first Winnie the Pooh book last night. So I'd never read these before. After the Winnie the Pooh has given, I think, Tigger or Eeyore a party, Piglet and Pooh are walking home. Later on, when they all had said goodbye and thank you to Christopher Robin, Pooh and Piglet walked home thoughtfully together in the golden evening, and for a long time they were silent. "When you wake up in the morning, Pooh," said Piglet at last, "what's the first thing you say to yourself?" "What's for breakfast?" said Pooh. "What do you say, Piglet?" "I say, I wonder what's going to happen exciting today," said Piglet. Pooh nodded thoughtfully. "It's the same thing," he said. And there's a little illustration of them walking off together in the sunset.
So. I have to say that I think those are just some of the most tender books. And even, you know, Eeyore can be so horribly grumpy. But in the end, he softens just a little bit. And I love the characters in Winnie the Pooh.
And I don't know if I can say this on the radio, but I am ready to now pass the Pooh.
It's out there on Facebook.
Yes. So I'll put it on the Facebook page, but I have read Winnie the Pooh and I'm going on to the House at Pooh Corner. So I'm going to sign this one saying I've read it, and I'm going to see how many people can read it before January 24th and send it around town.
But these are some books that you can also get if you download iBooks onto your Kindle or your computer. You can actually find A.A. Milne and Winnie the Pooh for free. You can actually get some of those for free. The Jane Austen books, Winnie the Pooh. I think Jane Austen's pretty
tender-hearted.
Yes, tender-hearted they get what they want in the end. And funny.
Love.
Well, let's see. Shall I mention one of mine, maybe?
Yeah, when we were talking about this club, we were trying to come up with adult titles. And then when I talked to you about the club, you immediately popped off two or three titles that I agreed with.
Yeah, of course, one category I think that almost always is tender-hearted would be books about animals and people, by and large. And so I was thinking about the James Herriot books, All Things Big and Beautiful, Bold and Wonderful. I can't remember the titles. But he really, as a vet, I think, was a very kind-hearted man. And one of the stories, because it's, if you haven't read them, he is a vet in England and in the countryside, so he comes upon lots of characters. But it's that wonderful relationship that people have with their animals. And he was summoned to a farm, and there was a favorite sheep. And the sheep was very ill and probably was not going to survive. So he gives the sheep what was going to be, you know, a shot that would have put the animal down. So he did that and, you know, sort of tidied up and then left, probably leaving to the farmer to take care of the animal. Well, he didn't give the sheep quite enough. So the sheep didn't die. But what happened was the sheep recovered, and he realized it was just that opportunity for the animal to rest completely at ease, instead of being tense with pain or anything. So the animal survives, and he's so pleased because, you know, the farmer was so happy. But it's filled with tender vignettes like that. So I really enjoyed that. And then I'll talk again about a book before turning it over to you. And I understand that you've also had responses on your website, so you'll be able to share some of those?
Yeah, pretty quickly, about 30 people signed up, and they're starting to suggest some of their favorite book. Tracy Turner has a number of titles, Search for Delicious, The Great Good Thing, I Capture the Castle, and a series of chronicles, The Enchanted Forest Chronicles. I have a book here that 8th graders are reading right now at Blatchley with their teacher, Emily Demert, The Little Prince, and Bill the Giant wrote in, "I really love The Little Prince. It wins my tenderest heart vote."
Okay. And that's actually a French book written by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, who was
a
pilot.
Did you pronounce that?
Well, it doesn't mean that I pronounce it correctly. Well, I found a little book. I'd read a review of it, and it's just a sweet, tender little book. It's called A Guide to the Birds of East Africa. Well, there are two men involved and a woman, and they're both vying for her affection. And one of them is you know, handsome, and and this takes place, I think, in Nairobi. And Mr. Malik has been in love with Rose Mbekwa, a woman who leads the weekly bird walks sponsored by the East African Ornithological Society. Malik wouldn't be noticed by a bystander in a Nairobi street, except perhaps to comment on his carefully sculpted comb-over. So he's a little bit gawky, a little bit scholarly, and not particularly a romantic figure. However, Rose really does like him. But it turns out that this flashy guy kind of interrupts this very sweet, developing relationship. And it's a one, they set up a wonderful competition between these two men to vie for her attention. And it really is kind of along the line of another of the Alexander McCall Smith's The Number One Ladies Detective Agency,
yeah, that's what I was
which
thinking.
I think is very, very tenderhearted.
It so. Is. That's one you mentioned to me, and I had to agree with you that you hit the nail on the head that that's an adult novel series that's very tenderhearted.
Yeah, and I mean, I know he's gotten lots of attention, but maybe not everybody has heard about him. This particular series, because it's a series, and is called the first one in the series that is The Number One Ladies Detective Agency. And Madame Ramotswe from Botswana is, and the amazing thing is, it's written by Alexander McCall Smith, kind of a doughy looking large white man who did live in, if not Botswana, is Botswana Rhodesia? I can't remember. At any rate, he did spend a lot of his young life there. But he just, I thought, captured his female characters really, really well. And so Ma Ramotswe decides, she gets a hold of a textbook on how to be a detective. And so she decides that she enjoys solving people's problems. So she opens this agency and then hires a secretary. And I can't come up with that, her name right off the tip of my tongue. And they, in fact, then are presented with some difficult, challenging human situations that they kind of have to figure out. And but the thing that I love is at certain points in the book, Ma Ramotswe will be, they always drink tea when they need to discuss something or they need to take a break. You know, they out comes the tea and they'll sit on the porch. And she often will conclude the book about how much she loves her country and how wonderful the people are in it. And, you know, sometimes it's they wonder about somebody's maybe not being faithful to their wife or I can't remember any the other specific cases that she solves. But
a relative's missing.
Yeah.
Is this the person they should marry?
So yeah. It's not a murder detective agency, just solving people's problems. And she's so humane when she kind of catches somebody, you know, who's maybe not being quite on the up and up.
I think this is one we're all agreeing on. We're actually agreeing this. This is the tenderhearted book. I've read these. My whole family reads these ones.
It became a series for a brief time.
Oh, yeah.
On TV, yeah. It was excellent. I thought it was great.
It was. That was one. And I think the library, I hope we still have it. If we haven't, it's one I'll replace that. You mean a series on television?
I think it was like PBS or was it?
Yes, I think it was. And beautiful music. And it captured the book, I think. I didn't see many episodes, but those that I watched captured.
Yeah, I only think they did about 4 to 6 episodes, and they were really well done.
Yes.
I agree. So do you have anything else from your tenderhearted book club you'd like to mention?
I don't have it with me, but I think The Tale of Despero, which also has been made into a movie, is a tender little story about a mouse, a tiny little mouse born with enormous ears.
Carrie kept picking mice. Stories.
Well, it's okay. We have agreement here. So I know the title, but I don't know the story.
So this little mouse is born with these enormous ears, and he just doesn't fit into his little mouse society, which is inside of a castle, I think. And he wants to go off an adventure, and that's not done where he is. And there's a lot of darkness in the story. There's a young girl whose father has basically given her away for servitude, and she's filled with anger, and she almost gets to the brink of doing something horrible, but pulls back from the brink. And it's a animated film, for children, The Tale of Despero.
So that's not a book?
Oh, it is a book.
Oh, it is a book. Okay.
But it's been made into a film, so people may know it that way. It's made into a film. So.
Okay.
What do you have over there, Sarah?
Well, let's see. I noticed that you had a lot of copies of this one it's hitting the floor. I'll bend down.
What do we have a lot of copies
of? You have a lot of copies of The Incident at Hawks Hill.
I haven't read that.
Oh, I just think it's one of my favorites. It's one that comes to mind. And because there's a young boy, and it happened in 1870, and it takes place. His name is Ben, and he's got a lot of older siblings. He's the very youngest, and he kind of feels left out of things. So he wanders away from the family's farm on Hawks Hill. And so for 2 days, everybody is out searching for him. And they can't find him. And they just basically figure that they give him up for dead. And he really just sort of disappeared. Well, what has happened is he falls into the hole of a badger. And the badger senses that he's a young creature of some kind and lost and hungry and needs care. So as best as that badger can, she takes in this child as her own. And it does take place during the summer where the weather's fairly mild. But anyway, it's just... And it ends very well, but it is really a touching, sweet story. And I guess maybe I was the youngest child and my sisters are quite a bit older than I am. And I know what that feeling is like of being so much younger that you're not really in on what the rest of the family's doing in a way. And I think maybe his father had raised his voice to him and he was just feeling out of sorts. And that's kind of why he wandered away. But it is really a touching little story.
So you say that we have lots of copies at Blatchley?
You have several copies at Blatchley.
Which means it was once a battle book.
Yeah.
And it's in the back room at Blatchley. There is a battle book this year that is probably Blatchley's most tenderhearted book, which is called Petey Bite. Is that Ben Michelson?
Yes, that is definitely tenderhearted.
I read it. I started to read it. I have to say I didn't actually care for it and didn't finish it. But uniformly, almost universally, the children love it. It's about a boy named Petey, born with cerebral palsy.
And he's in a wheelchair.
Back in the time when children would have been institutionalized. And he's just basically strapped to a bed. A human being inside, but unable to express it.
Wow.
When he was young. And it's his effort to show people he's human and to gain friends. And some of the first few friends he makes are mice. And he feeds them crumbs at night. And then someone who runs the horrible hospital for mainly men notices the crumbs, and he realizes that the mice are in danger, and he one night has to like sweep his friends away, them off the bed. So it's kind of a heartbreaking story,
right.
But the children at Blatchley love this story. They really just love this story.
Well, that's neat that they have empathy for a child who's trapped in some way.
Yeah.
And maybe a lot of them kind of know that feeling, even though they're not, you know, confined to a bed.
Uh-huh.
I actually bought that book for the library over at Mount Edgecombe because kids came in and said, do you have? Because they remember reading it in middle school and they wanted to reread it again.
They love it.
They loved it. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, neat. Well, shall I talk about another one?
Yes, do.
Okay. Well, this one, maybe I like it because it makes me laugh so hard. But this is a book, Farley Mowat, who a lot of people know for Never Cry Wolf and People of the Deer, don't know that he's written actually a lot of other books and some pretty lighthearted because his dad was a librarian. And he grew up in Saskatchewan, which is a pretty flat, dusty part of Canada. And so this is a book called The Dog Who Wouldn't Be. And... you know, he was kind of trouble, but he was just irresistible. So shall I read just a little bit of it?
Yes, you should.
Just a tad bit of it. In our small house on the outskirts of the city, my mother switched on the electric lights. There was a noise, I think, and continued with the task of preparing luncheon for my father and for me. Father had not yet returned from his office, nor I from school. Mother was alone with the somber day. The sound of the doorbell brought her unwillingly from the kitchen into the hall. She opened the front door no more than a few inches, as if expecting the menace of the sky to thrust its way past her into the kitchen. There was no menace in the appearance of the visitor, who waited apologetically on the step. A small boy, perhaps 10 years of age, stood shuffling his feet in the gray grit that had been falling soundlessly across the city for a day and a night. He held a wicker basket before him, and as the door opened, he swung the basket forward and spoke in a voice that was husky with the dust and with the expectation of rebuff. "Missus," he added in a pale, high tone, "would you want to buy a duck?" Mother was a bit nonplussed by this odd echo of a catchphrase that had already withered and staled in the mouths of the comedians of the era. Nevertheless, she looked into the basket and, to her astonishment, beheld three emaciated ducklings, their bills gaping in the heat, and wedged between them a nondescript and bedraggled pup. She was touched and curious, although she certainly did not want to buy a duck. "I don't think so," she said kindly. "Why are you selling them?" The boy took courage and returned her smile. "I gotta," he said. "The slough out to the farm is dry. We ate the big ducks, but these was too small to eat. I sold some down to the Chinee Grill. You want the rest, lady? They're cheap, only a dime each." "I'm sorry," Mother replied. "I've no place to keep a duck, but where did you get the little dog?" So she goes on to describe the dog, who becomes just an absolute hilarious member of the family, as just sort of his hips were a little high, and he sort of leaned to one side. So he describes him as sort of looking like a submarine that's descending but canting slightly to the left. And anyway, so it's, his books are just sweet and funny. Owls in the Family was another one. Kind of good read alouds and lots of fun. So those are, and then quickly, The End of Your Life Book Club. That's really sweet. That is a story about a son whose mother is passing away, and they decide to form a book club. And she says, "Well, don't we have to have food?" And he said, "No, I think we just have to read some books." And it was a way of them spending time together when she was receiving treatment for what eventually would kill her. But we have about 2 minutes. I mean, really, just 2 minutes left. Do you have a few titles you want to mention?
Well, I'll mention some more comments that were left on the website on Facebook. Maita, who's the children's and youth librarian at Kettleson, recommends Serafina by Rachel Hartman. And she has a little thing she wrote. The darkness is the perfect setting to read books about dragons and the moon. And then I would encourage people who are interested in being in the book club, and there's nothing formal about this. You just have to read a book between now and January. Think about a book or make a list about a book. But if you go to Facebook page, Tenderhearted Book Club, and you scroll down and you see a posting where you can see tea, a fireplace, a pot of marmalade, and a Paddington Bear book, you'll know that you're at the Tenderhearted Book Club on Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, I have a wonderful Tenderhearted book that I'll have to talk about. A cup of tea, someone to go who visits an old elderly auntie and she serves tea. Oh, it just makes me cry when I think about it.
Maybe our January event will have to be some sort of big
tea party. I feel the plan coming on.
I know who has the tea.
I have a whole box of different kinds of, yes, and I have lots of teapots. Oh, okay. I think we have the Tenderhearted Tea Party
Plan. The tea party, yes.
That's right. Well, great reason for people to be reading Tenderhearted books. You've been listening to The Library Show on KCAW Sitka with librarian Sarah Bell, Carrie Sagal, and Erica Drain. Please tune in again next week. Who knows what the topic will be? Thanks for listening.